If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim. Dini al-Islami, dini wal-Azam, ghayru dini, Muhammad illi hadini.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God, welcome to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Javad, hosting this program. And sitting in the studio along with me, Sheikh Javid, well, the dear guest speaker in this program, Islamic Laws. Welcome to the program, Sheikh Javid.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is ours. Stay tuned. We'll be back. We are going to talk about the rules of Hajj, in fact, according to Ayatollah Khamenei. But before that, let's take a listen to a short biography.
A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtada Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, we testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching makasas, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up till 1347, he was actively participating in Bahthul Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahthul Kharij, he started Bahthul Kharij and he's teaching. One can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that.
SubhanAllah.
Back to the program, Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Javed, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javed, as always, our guest speaker in the studio. Sheikh Javed, you know, we are talking about the jurisprudential rules of Hajj according to the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. Let me ask you this question, which is very important, in fact. What are the prohibitions of ihram? What are the things that, in fact, that a pilgrim should be wise of, you know, or about, or conscious of when it comes to ihram? What are the things that he's not, you know, allowed to do, or she's not allowed to do?
That's a very important question, and also, and perhaps it could be the most important question related to
Hajj.
Of course, if I am to answer this question, I need to go into detail because there are many, many things that are forbidden for a person who is wearing the ihram of Hajj, mm-hmm. and who is actually prepared already to perform the Hajj. There are many things that a pilgrim must not do. The first thing which is not permissible to do is hunting. Of course, hunting this time around is not possible because there's no deer or anything like that to mm-hmm. be hunted.
Okay? Yeah, of course.
So it is out of question. Maybe
in the past, people used to do that, but now people are not hunters.
Yeah, you're right. If a person is wearing the, you know, the ihram and he goes to Arafat or maybe to Muzdalifah, and if there is an animal to be hunted, so he must be very much wary of and must not hunt. This mm-hmm. is the first one.
Yes.
And then we have the second one, sexual intercourse. Physical intimacy is forbidden. It's not permissible for a person who is in this state of ihram, whether he is performing Umrah or whether he is performing Hajj Tamattu, to engage in any sexual activity. And it does not make any difference whether a person is willing to perform, engage in sexual activity with his own wife or maybe with someone else, with another woman, okay? And both of these practices are forbidden.
Right.
And then kissing is not permissible. It will make kafara or penalty liable. He will be liable.
Doesn't it render the Hajj void?
No, it doesn't. You know,
if it a just, person, yes, it does have an atonement.
Yeah,
attached.
There is a kafara because mm-hmm. you are not mm-hmm. supposed to do the Hajj all over again.
Right.
You will have to give a kafara, and of course, in most cases, in all of mm-hmm. these cases, mm-hmm. a person has to slaughter a sheep. Okay.
For each mistake or error
that he commits, and these prohibitions, if he happens to commit one of these prohibited acts, he will have to slaughter a sheep as a penalty.
I see.
So number two was sexual intercourse, and number three is kissing a woman, and then touching a woman is also not permissible. Okay, if you are, for example, accompanied by your wife, or you are accompanying your wife and you are together, if you want to touch her without lustful intention, there's no problem. For example, you can be together in the same tent or the mm-hmm. same room, and if you happen to touch her without lustful intention, there's no objection to you. But if you touch her with lustful intention and you are wearing the ihram, it is forbidden, and you mm-hmm. cannot do it.
Mm-hmm.
So, then we have number five, looking at a woman and flirting with her. Looking at a woman and flirting with her. It's not permissible to look at a woman with lustful intention as long as you're wearing the... Even if you're not wearing ihram, and if you're not performing Hajj, it's not permissible to flirt with a non-mahram woman and to actually look at a woman with lustful intention.
All right.
But the consequence mm-hmm, mm-hmm. of doing so, mm-hmm. for a pilgrim is a penalty. That is the
atonement. The
atonement, yeah.
I see. Okay, let's take a short break, Sheikh Javed, if you agree, and then we'll be back and continue our program, Islamic Laws, on IRIB English Radio. Stay with us.
The followers of Ayatollah Khamenei can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khamenei's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Back to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javed, our guest speaker. We are talking about the Hajj jurisprudential rules according to Ayatollah Khamenei's fatwas. Sheikh Javed, we are talking about, or you are, you know, shedding some light on the prohibitions of ihram. Would you please continue that?
Yeah. Number one, as I said, hunting. Number two, sexual intercourse. And number three, kissing a woman. Number four, touching a woman. Five, looking at a woman and flirting with her.
Mm-hmm.
And then six, masturbation. Masturbation is haram regardless of whether you are performing Hajj or you're not performing Hajj. It is absolutely forbidden. God forbid if a person commits masturbation whilst he is wearing ihram, he should should atone for it.
Right.
And number seven is reciting nikah. Okay. You are wearing ihram, you cannot recite, you know, nikah.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot, you know, solemnize the marriage contract.
I see.
Whether you want to do it for yourself or you want to do it for someone else.
For a third party.
Yeah, for a third party, it is not permissible to solemnize it or to recite the marriage contract.
I see.
And then number eight is use of scent or perfume. It is not permissible to wear perfume, and it's not permissible to use anything which is fragrant. Like, for example, if you want to use soap and that soap has unnatural fragrance, you know, it's not permissible to use it.
I see.
And you cannot use something which, for example, any kind of vegetable or something that has fragrant, you cannot use it. And you should make sure that you avoid things which are fragrant.
I see. Okay? What about drinking or eating something which is like, you know, it originates in a flower or something?
You are right. There are something which has their natural, fragrance. That's permissible. You can eat food, you can eat drink, juice, and they have their taste. They have their, you know, natural fragrance.
Mm-hmm.
But that is that's permissible to do so.
What about the smelling of flower?
Smelling is not allowed as well, you know. And of course, we will continue to enumerate and explain those prohibitions one by one. And then we have wearing sewn clothes by men, you know, sewn clothes. You are wearing the two pieces of clothing which is called ihram.
Right.
So that those two pieces are not stitched, they are not sewn, okay? There are two pieces tied to your waist, and then the one piece covers your shoulder. And but you cannot wear any shorts, any underwear, any socks or anything like that, which are obviously stitched.
Mm-hmm.
So it's absolutely forbidden to wear anything. And this prohibition is directed to men, not women. Of course, women are allowed to wear their own clothing, their own dresses.
So this rule is only limited to men?
Yeah, of course. Limited to
men. Men only, prudential rule.
Yes.
Okay.
And of course, there are some other rules which are limited to, limited to men and not women. We will talk about them, inshallah, in the following episode.
Okay. Thank you very much, Sheikh Javed, for your nice elaboration of some of the rules, jurisprudential laws regarding the Hajj Tamattu, but more in particular, we were talking about in this episode about the prohibition of, in fact, ihram. So thank you very much for listening to us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
رحمن رحيم منان كريم سلام عليم من جاء إله إلا هو غفار جميل وهاب لطيف تواب سميع بصير لا إله إلا هو وحيد قدير محيي مميت الظاهر والباطن لا إله إلا هو لا إله إلا هو